Feel like we have a contingency over here, and one way in the back here, a little one right here, and over. That's good. Well, let's pray as we look at some scriptures today, and continue with our series, summer road trip series. Heavenly Father, we are grateful. We say that it's always good, God, when you show up. And Lord, you've shown up already in and through worship, and you are with us. And what we want to do today is to trust you, and what we want to do today is to adore you, to worship you. That's why we've come, to worship you, to trust you, to give you our lives, to put our lives in your hands, because you are the good shepherd, and you can lead us better than anyone. So we ask that you would do that, Lord, even now, even as we look at some scriptures, and that we share some things, that you would lead us in that by your Holy Spirit. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, first of all, I do want to thank Todd and Paul last week for leading the service. It's always so good, makes us feel so good to hear so many good reports right away. And to hear God moving in people's lives on Sunday mornings without us, right? It's a good reminder that this is Jesus' church, right? This is not our church. This is Jesus' church, and that he's free to do with it what he wants. And so it's a good reminder that the body of Christ should be the body of Christ, and a lot of people have gifts and abilities, and they ought to be using those things. So our only regret is we miss witnessing what the Holy Spirit did in a powerful way, which really leads me, this has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about. So I'd share that, okay? which leads me, to an important reminder for us all, is that the Holy Spirit is always moving. The Holy Spirit is always working, always moving. He's always doing something and desiring to do something of a transformative nature in our spiritual hearts. It's our job to just respond. Our job is to respond. And I thought about this week, and I shared it, I believe, with I think Paul's teaching today. But I shared this week that I often wonder how much of the work of the Holy Spirit we miss because of hesitation, just by hesitation. That we hesitate, we get over-concerned with what others might think about us, we hang back, and we miss what God might be talking to us about, what he might be sharing with us, what might he be prompting us to do, just through sheer hesitation. And so I believe that the Lord is pleased when we run toward him instead of away from him. Amen? He delights when we come to him. And times of praise, in times of gratefulness, but also in times of pain and in times of suffering, he delights in that. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to respond. And so I say, we run to you, Lord. Right? I mean, that should be our response. Lord, we run to you. We run to you, Lord. We run to your arms. We run straight into what you want for our lives. We're not going to run away from that, Lord. We run toward it. Amen? Yeah. So I just wanted to share those things. We are grateful for Todd and Paul. And I know Todd's traveling. Everybody's traveling this summer, right? So... we're continuing with this series that we've called Summer Road Trip, where we've been talking about gaining a fresh heart for evangelism, making new disciples. And this morning, I want each of you to know that you are all valuable contributors to Jesus' ongoing mission. Each one of you. You know, Acts chapter 1, the Bible says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, the scripture says, in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. And the Bible says that we are witnesses. That we are witnesses. If you've connected with Jesus, if you've given your heart to Jesus, if you've invited him to forgive you, to save you, to give you his eternal life, then you are one of his witnesses. You are a witness. Somebody just say, I am a witness. I mean, see, we're not just commanded to be witnesses, we are witnesses. There's a difference. We're not just to occasionally witness. We don't just witness when we feel especially courageous or inspired. Whether we realize it or not, a witness is something that we are at the core of our beings now that we've been born again, become new in Jesus. That's who we are. We are a witness. And what does a good witness in a trial do? A witness tells others truthfully about what he has seen, what he has heard, and what he has personally experienced. That's what a witness does in a trial, in a court trial. He witnesses, he tells others truthfully about what he has seen, about what he has heard, about what he has personally experienced. Now, when it comes to the E word, right, evangelism, we all need to, I think, including myself, need to be challenged and to be stretched beyond our comfort zones. We need our eyes open to the fact that God has called us to be contributors to his mission on this earth. We are contributors. And so you and I need to be open to the possibility that God can reach another person through your words and your actions, which hopefully will be laced with kindness and compassion and love, right? And so let me tell you, I'm going to share a story with you this morning. On July 4th, we received a phone call early in the morning that one of our dearly loved Vineyard family was en route to the hospital, and that was Nancy Smith. Nancy's here with us today, right? And she was having some heart attack symptoms, and it turns out God's grace was there, and there's no damage to her heart. She was discharged from the hospital rather quickly, and we're rejoicing with her, and we're rejoicing with Stan. Amen? Yeah, right, yeah. We got to celebrate these things, right? We should celebrate these things together as a congregation. But that's not actually my story. As we were waiting, as we were in the waiting room, together with some the family, a young mother named Ashley came in with her daughter Eva, and Eva was, I'm guessing, about 4 years old, and mom was carrying her. And clearly, Eva was very sick. They had been camping, and Eva had contracted a fever, and she was vomiting and uncontrollably. And, of course, mom was just distraught, didn't know what to do. She was just standing in the middle of the emergency room waiting room, and then eventually she just sat down. And so Lynn Moore and myself, we went over and to console Ashley, the mom, and the little girl. And then we offered to pray for her, which, by the way, if you're ever looking to for more opportunities to pray for other people, just go to the emergency room. I mean, they're not going to turn you down for prayer. Right? And there's all kinds of people in the emergency room waiting, you know, for the family members back there getting prepped, you know, and they're upset, and they're hurting, and they're, you know, anxious. And so, you know, if you want to ramp up your prayer ministry, go to the emergency room. And it's a great opportunity. So anyways, so we prayed for this little girl and for the mom. And then they whisked her back to the emergency room. And we didn't see them the rest of that morning. I mean, that was it. That was the one connection that we had with this mom and this girl. But we stopped to pray and to provide the kindness and compassion of Jesus, you know, to her. And she was welcomed. She welcomed that with open arms because she was just so upset. So I thought about this experience some more. And it dawned on me that this was a picture of people without a relationship with Jesus. They're dazed. They're frightened. And they're walking around not knowing what to do with their lives. And they're in need of urgent care. Don't know where to turn, right? It really leads me to the first point that I think we need to entertain. When we talk about this idea of evangelism, we need to be reminded of Jesus' mission. Jesus came to rescue mankind who is lost. Jesus came to rescue. You know, Luke says in his gospel about Jesus that he enrolled this scroll of Isaiah in the temple, and Jesus came to this place where it was written. He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord," you know that some of you know this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and release to the oppressed to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus came to rescue mankind who was lost. And we need to be reminded of his mission. That's why he came. That's why he came. And we're involved in that, right? Because each one of us was held in captive in the chains of sin. Each one of us was held tight in the chains of the fear of death. And firmly in the grips of Satan, who's the prince of the power of the air. And so we were involved. We needed rescued. Amen? Yeah. We needed rescued. And there was this powerful, dramatic rescue operation that Jesus made. What did Jesus do? Well, I want to talk about this for a little bit just as a way of reminder. Jesus left the glory of heaven to invite people to return to the Father. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. "For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." Now, not financially rich, we know that. But spiritually rich. Rich with a relationship with Jesus. Rich with a renewed, reconciled relationship with God the Father. Knowing that we're right with God. Knowing that our sins are forgiven. Knowing that he's for us and not against us, right? You talk about rich. Those are spiritual riches, don't you believe? Yeah. And so Jesus, in his rescue operation, he leaves the glory of heaven to invite people to return to the Father. And then Jesus, secondly, identifies fully with mankind in order to bring us back to the Father. I mean, Paul said this in Philippians. You might see it up there. He says, "Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, he became obedient to death, even death on a cross." Jesus identifies with humanity. He became a man. Jesus, think about it, who's fully God, the second person of the Trinity, left the comforts of heaven to become a man. And then, in this rescue operation, throughout Jesus' whole ministry, he acted as an inviter and an includer. An inviter and an includer. everywhere he went, he simply told people that he encountered, follow me. And as you follow me, I'll introduce you to my Heavenly Father. And he hung around people that no one else would hang around. And he included people in his life, and he loved them, and he helped them see their spiritual need. And he opened up to them true life. God has given us eternal life, and this life is what? In his Son. It's in his Son. And so, there's this incredible rescue operation that took place that we got in on, right? But there's something unique, though, about Jesus' rescue operation. Jesus is not passive in seeking the lost people. But rather, he pursues them and he brings them back to the Father. And a couple of scriptures for you that demonstrates this. First of all, it's in Luke chapter 19. It says this about Jesus: for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Amen? And then it says this: here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And that's the Apostle Paul speaking those particular words. So, you know, here's the thing. It's one thing to simply be at the right place at the right time, right, and save somebody. But Jesus is much more than a good Samaritan. He's more than a passerby at an accident who stops and pulls a person out of a burning car. Jesus is way more than that. Jesus is more like, Jesus came as a searchlight. He came with a searchlight. He's rescuing miners, right? He's digging down and he's got a searchlight and he's rescuing trapped miners. Jesus is more like the lead person on a rescue operation trying to find that lost skier. He's not giving up. He's pursuing. He's looking. He's searching. And I like what C.S. Lewis is a popular, very popular classic writer, written a lot of great works. And this is what C.S. Lewis said about his experience with Jesus. He said, I never had the experience of looking for God. It was the other way around. He was the hunter, and I was the deer. He stalked me, took unerring aim, and fired. Right? How many feel that way when you came to know God, right? You came to know Jesus, all right? He stalked you, he hunted you down, boom, you're his, right? You're his prize. Yeah, right. And so this is good news that Jesus is a rescuer. Okay, one amen, please. Thank you, Barb. It's the good news we talk about. It's the good news we sing about. It's the good news that we believe. It's the good news we hang our hat on. Jesus is the pursuer. Jesus is the rescuer. Just turn to somebody and say, Jesus is my rescuer. And the most fascinating thing of all is Jesus partners with those he rescued to fulfill his ongoing rescue mission. Ha! Or to make it personal, Jesus uses ordinary people like you and me to get his news out, his good news. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. I am sending you. I like what Vineyard pastor Lance Pitluck said. He said, the Christian life is like a dance with God, the lead partner. Right? We don't lead God. God leads us. That's our fundamental problem. That's what gets us in so many problems when it comes to the Christian life and Christian walk, is that we try to lead Jesus. Think about that for a while. The times that we get into trouble, the times that we fall away, maybe even from God, the times that we falter are the times where we're trying to take the lead in this dance that he's invited us into and onto the floor. That was for free. I'm just kidding. But God wants to lead us in this thing that we call the Christian life or journey. God wants to live our lives with intentionality. God wants you and me to be active, to pursue people ourselves with his love and with his good news. That we get in on the rescue operation. He invites us in on the rescue operation. It's incredible. It's unbelievable. I often wonder why, right? But that's the truth of it. He invites us in on this rescue operation. Now, I want to do something different today to stir our hearts even further when we talk about making disciples, reaching out to other people with the good news of Jesus Christ. I want us to make some declarations today. I want us to make some proclamations today. And so I'm going to invite you along the way, the rest of my time, to repeat some proclamations after me, okay? And so we're going to do that this morning, just as something different. And the first one is this. I am so vitally connected with Jesus that I can't help but tell others about him. Yeah, all right. Let's do it together. I am so vitally connected with Jesus that I can't help but tell others about him. Now, witnessing, sharing your experience, your story with Jesus to another person is supposed to be the overflow of your life. Acts chapter 4 describes what took place within the disciples after the resurrection. And it says this in Acts 4:18. It says, then they called them in again, and they commanded the disciples not to speak, or Peter and John not to speak, or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, you judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. And a compassion or a passion for Jesus leads us to compassion for other people. It's the outflow. It's the overflow. And compassion always acts. And this might be the very reason that the church today does not really actively engage in evangelism. Maybe it's that they don't actively engage in sharing faith with others, because the truth is they're not really all that connected to Jesus. So this is a good question to ask ourselves. I'm asking it. This is a good question to ask ourselves. Is Christ so real to me that I cannot help testify about what he means to me and what he's done for me? Is he that real to me that I can't help but talk about him and what he's done? And I can't answer that for you. You've got to answer that question. Kind of mull over that question this week. See for yourself what you come up with. But anyway, that's the first declaration. Is that we need to have such a real, genuine encounter and relationship with Jesus that we can't help talk about him all the time. All the time. Well, then I'll be called a religious nut. Well, join the other package of nuts. We'll just all get in the bag and we'll be a bunch of nuts. I don't know. Number two. Let's say it together. I have compassion for people who have not heard about Jesus. Matthew chapter 9, the scripture says this: Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." But Jesus wants a special kind of harvest worker. Jesus wants a compassionate worker who invites people to follow Jesus and includes them in what God's doing, right? And God wants us to be extravagant sowers of seed, right? You know, we just sow seeds of the good news, you know, of Jesus, right? And he wants us to sow seeds of the gospel, but he wants us to throw out seeds with compassion. And what he doesn't want is the attitude of, well, here's the gospel. Oh, you don't want to hear it? Oh, forget you. You probably didn't deserve it anyway. Right? That's a terrible attitude. If you didn't catch that. I hope you did. Right? So, listen. If your compassion well is low, God wants to fill you with compassion for others today. If you find that your compassion well, the level, you only got a couple of feet of water in your compassion well, and you ask God today, and we'll have opportunity at the end of the service to raise the level of compassion that you have for other people. Fill the well. Fill the well. Amen. Number three. I say it. I am convinced that a person without Jesus is eternally lost. Acts 4, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to me by which we must be saved. I like Dwight Moody was a great evangelist. And this is what he said. He says, "I look upon this world as a wrecked vessel. Its ruin is getting nearer and nearer. And God said to me, 'Moody, here's the lifeboat. Rescue as many as you can before the crash comes.'" Moody understood that a person without Jesus doesn't have eternal life. And we should too. We should too. We should be reminded of that truth. Number four, I am commanded to tell others about Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world," Mark 16, "go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." All right, we're not called to make decisions. We're not called to make decisions, but disciples, followers of Jesus who grow more and more like Jesus and pass it on. And so our desire to share will only increase as we understand how much Jesus has changed our life. Ooh, I want to say that again. Our desire to share will increase as we understand how much Jesus has changed our life and how much he has done for us. And so that's why I started the way I did today, because we need a better understanding ourselves of the great drama of the cross and his love for us through outstretched arms. We need to understand the cross better. And as we understand that great rescue operation called the cross, it will prompt us to share what we have in Jesus with other people. And so I'm commanded to tell others about Jesus. And? Yeah. Number five. The church, corporately, was created to tell others about Jesus. Now, we've been talking about the purpose of the church a lot, and the New Testament church is a living organism created by Jesus to grow. Healthy organisms reproduce after their own kind, right? And when we walk through the book of Acts, what we see is growth. We see his growth. And I've got a couple of scriptures I want to share with you. Acts chapter 2, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number in one day. I'd say that's growth. Acts 2, 47, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, the Lord added to the church's number daily those who were being saved. He added daily growth. Acts number 3, Acts 6, verse 7, so the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests also became obedient to the faith. The church was created to tell other people about Jesus. It was created to grow, right? Now, it's really funny. How we're okay with expansion of businesses. We're okay with the expansion of services, right? We're okay with the expansion of technology. We're okay with economic expansion within our city. We're okay with expansion of education so that our children get a better education. We're okay with all that. But then we start talking about expansion of the church, and then all of a sudden, everybody wants it to stay the same. Why? The church was created by Jesus, and his intention is that it grows. Grows. I mean, not just a little bit, a lot, grow a lot, so that all these chairs are full, right? Right? Okay. Whew. All right. I want to finish with this proclamation, number 6, declaration. We'll say it together. I am changed personally as I share Jesus with others. Now, I want to share a scripture with you. I've shared this scripture before. I want to share it again because there's this powerful principle found within one verse. And it's this one verse in this little tiny New Testament book called Philemon. Some of you don't even know where it's at, right? And it says this in Philemon, it only has one chapter. So you got to say Philemon 6. You don't have to say Philemon 1, chapter 1, verse 6, right? Just Philemon 6. Verse 6, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Listen to that verse. That's a powerful kingdom dynamic. And what it's saying is that the way to discover all that God has done for you, the way to discover God's destiny for your life, is in part through sharing Jesus with other people. Here's what John Wimber said. He was the founder of the Vineyard. He said these words. He said, we know that the gospel transforms us as we believe it. But few of us realize that it also transforms us as we share it. When we obey God and preach the gospel, our faith is built up. In evangelism, we're forced to reach out and take risks. And in doing so, we grow. We grow. We grow. I want to, that's all our declarations today. We're going to have some more next week, I believe. But I want to finish with these words. Why don't we all stand together? Let's just stand up. I want to finish there's a word that theologians often use when talking about Jesus. And that word is incarnate. Incarnate. Incarnate means in the flesh. In the flesh, or taking on flesh. Incarnate. And I believe what God is desiring for every believer is that they be an incarnate witness. An incarnate witness. And in the flesh, face to face, real live witness of the rescuing, saving love of Jesus. He wants all of us, to be incarnate witnesses. Amen? Let's pray. God, you continue to move us toward being who we are, and that is witnesses of you. Forgive us for sidestepping that, focusing on other things. Help us to know that you call us to be a witness. Given us everything we need to be a good witness. So just keep pushing us, opening up more opportunities, more people to talk with. In the emergency room, in the grocery store, out on the sidewalk, in our neighborhood. In the library, wherever it is we are. Just give us opportunities. Thank you for reminding us that you are the pursuer. You have pursued us with your grace and love. We are so undeserving of your grace. None of us deserve it. None of us can earn it. But you give it freely. And we say thank you. If you're here today and you need your compassion well filled up, you need to raise the water level of compassion in your life more, I just invite you just to put up your hand, put it back down. I need more compassion for people. Yeah. 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 Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Fill us up, Lord. Fill us with compassion. Give us understanding of that great rescue operation that you've conducted for us personally. You have saved us. You have saved us. Lord, thank you. You're sending us today. You're sending us today with some good reminders. Just press all those declarations, all those proclamations that we made, just press those in to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, continued prayer, if you got prayer last week and you want to get some more prayer, soak some more prayer, come up and we'll have some people pray with you again. So, go, be who you are, a witness. Amen? Be blessed.